came here to say who wanted from the jump. Came here to say to get exactly what you want. Came here to say that you don't really want it with us. Yeah, we love you know. We came here to say that you don't really want it with us. Yeah, the sports show.
What does your shirt say? Bronx sex positive?
The what?
Sex
Bronx
positive?
Native.
Oh.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 151 of the Your Sports Show. I'm your host, Big Baby, aka the soul of R&B.
Broad sex native is wild.
Yeah, that is wild.
That is wild.
That is wild. But for those joining us for the first time, welcome. Happy New Year. The Your Sports Show is a mix of the
Breakfast Club and First Take. I'm like, okay.
So you'll hear a lot of stuff that you won't hear on normal sports shows. So
Happy New Year.
Oh my God. The bottom left of the screen, we had the voice of a generation, Pete Rosado.
What's up, everybody? No, it just says Bronx native, Tay. It just says Bronx native. That's it.
Bronx sex.
That is all.
That's crazy.
There's nothing wrong with Happy New Year.
This is true. Nothing wrong with that.
It's wild.
Worship and praise.
It's crazy.
At the bottom right, we have BK Matt. I don't know why you changed your name to I'll Be Sure.
No, it's I'll Be Brooklyn Shore. It was because y'all was coming at me at the 150 episode. She was getting on my curls. I said, I'll Be Sure. So I'm like, you know what?
I'll be Brooklyn Shore. You didn't cactus curls?
It's because, you know, I didn't. You know what? Fuck you, Drake. I don't need this damn pressure.
You didn't lift your soul, right? You didn't do it?
Not you letting him tell you F you on your own show.
It's cold outside.
He'll be all right. And at the top right, we have
it's a nice drink.
The star of the show, the queen herself, Queen Tay. What's going on, Tay?
Hello, everyone. How are you today? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Everybody here blessed and highly favored with that worship and praise.
Is that worship and praise?
Yeah. Shout out to Michael Bostick. Who's positive?
Sex positive.
Peter is. Always. I think it started a wild. Hey, that's how you got to start the show sometimes.
I guarantee you, Pat McAfee would not think WAP stood for.
She waits until I get on the podcast and start fiddling around the damn microwave. Can we please?
My niece.
Yeah.
Hi, niece.
Hi.
Run away, niece.
Hey, run. If you hope to make it to 2025, you should, you know, hurry up. Yeah.
Tay.
She didn't do anything.
You didn't mute it.
Oh, my bad.
She just ran. That's it. There's nothing wrong.
Oh my God.
What's going on? How's everybody week's been? How's everybody New Year been so far?
I feel like I need to start my 2024 February 1st because I know that like there's some remnants of 2023 that I had to like wrap up some loose ends, but I'll be ready February 1st.
Boy, that ain't it. So far, it ain't it. This ain't it. Some things have been going good, but shit, I'm just taking it day by day, man. That's all I can do, yo. What about you? You had a very eventful week.
We find out he's doing daily vlogs like Kim Kardashian.
Word, right?
Instagram. I'm sitting there like, yo, you posted one picture. I hated how you was posed on that bed. You were sitting there like a pastor, sitting there getting ready to make some fish fry. You sitting there like. I was like, I hate how you're posing here.
I didn't want to take the picture.
So. Yeah, you should have posted that one. I hated it so much.
Hey, Shout out to my mother. My mother was there. She was my cameraman and everything while I was there. So
shout out to Mama.
Yeah, baby. I'm feeling good. The procedure went well. Well, 30 pounds prior to the procedure happening, so that was a good thing. Made the procedure a lot easier to do. And now, with this healing, I'll probably be back to work in a couple weeks and let the party begin 2024. But I've definitely been on my Kim Kardashian vlogging. So,
yes, you have.
It was like we had to find out his status via the vlog because I'm like texting, you good? And then I will text, you good? And then I'm like, all right, let me wait until 10 a.m. until the next vlog drops.
Hilarious. Yeah.
That is not funny. I was highly annoyed.
I do apologize.
Just knowing that, you know, you had your situation, I wasn't going
to. Listen, I would have understood.
Is that a thin blue line on your shirt, Peter?
No way.
Where?
On this picture, because, you know, it's about to be a different conversation.
This is about to be a whole different
Excuse me, I am a card-carrying member of ACAB.
You gonna tell people what ACAB is?
Nah, they know. If you know, you know.
I don't. No, what's that?
You don't know?
All right, the sex positive group got it.
All cops are bad.
I don't think so.
I can't.
I had a lovely experience with a couple of cops a couple of weeks ago, and my goddaughter's my god sister's father is the chief of police.
Yeah. I have family members in the force, so
I wouldn't say, like, even though it's ACAB, I do believe it's not necessarily all, but there is a good percentage of the bad apples that do mess it up for everybody. But no, you not see me rocking a thin blue line, anything.
You better not.
No. First of all, my girl would whoop my ass.
I don't mind a thin red line. That's for the firemen.
Firemen don't get respect. They need more people need to respect firemen. And fire women. Fire people. Because there's some great fire women out there.
You really want to get your ass beat by your girlfriend. Okay.
We going to sit here and discount what the women in the fire department do?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
That's what I'm saying. Good. Like fire people, because I think it's interesting because we say police, right? Police is gender neutral, right? Or cop is gender neutral. But when we say fireman, we usually say fireman. We never usually say firewoman or something like that.
No,
when
there are I say firefighter.
The fireman.
Damn, teacher coming on here with the I just smoked Mary Jane questions and wonder right. facts like. Like what?
No, right. I'm over here like who called fire women in the forest fire women?
Man, that's what I'm saying. Hey.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Listen. The phone call I was on that caused me to be a couple minutes behind on this. I kind of need a couple of the tokes if it make me feel a little bit better.
You okay?
I'm good. Just got a call from one of them. So I maintain contact with some of my all my parents and stuff like that. And got a phone call from one of my parents of one of my former students. And apparently they've gone missing.
So sorry to hear that.
So they didn't know that I had moved away from the Bronx. So they called me and they reached out, you know, asking me, you know, if I had seen anything or if I knew anything. And I said, well, listen, I'm in the Bronx today and I'm in the Bronx on Monday. So I'll definitely keep an eye out and things like that. But when I first got the call, it was from an unknown number. So I didn't know what was happening. Then I just pick up the phone and somebody crying. I'm like, what is going on right now? So, but it was thankfully, you know, as far as I know, nobody's hurt or nothing. But I maintain contact with some of my parents of my students, especially once they graduate to high school, because I used to teach middle school. This is my first year teaching high school. So I used to keep contact with my parents because I'm not going to give my students my personal email, but I would give their parents my personal email. Like, hey, if you ever need to reach out to me, if your child needs tutoring when they're in high school, if they need any guidance or anything, you know, I'm still available to them as a teaching support, even though I'm not officially their classroom teacher anymore.
Amen to that. Need more teachers like that out there.
In fact, shout out to some of my former seventh graders, Ethan, Ulysses, and all of y'all. Got a DM a couple of days ago. They're actually actively watching the Your Sports Show.
You should not be watching the show.
And they said that we are. Well, I don't know if they're actively watching right now, but I know they are. They listen to the podcast and they check this out.
They should not be watching the show.
Especially not with the other shout thing that you be saying. What's up, y'all?
At least they don't get some of the references because, you know, since
I would hope not. I would hope not, especially when we saw the Pootie Tang a couple weeks ago. If they get the Pootie Tang references, that's on their parents. We don't got nothing to do.
That's the last thing y'all need to be worried about. I mean, our stories.
Bro, nobody was there for
y'all stories. I'm good.
Nobody's child was there when I said somebody was
the Holland Tunnel.
Lincoln, the Holland Tunnel. Nobody's child was there, hopefully. If they was, whatever. But
yeah, enough about and like I said, WAP means worship and praise. Like
exactly.
Show.
We all know what the Holland Tunnel is. It's a tunnel that takes you to Jersey.
And you know, and for 2024, the back shots won't sound like bongos because I am practicing abstinence all 2024.
I hope so. I hope so.
2024 did not start off with a bang.
Not for me either, but I'm hopeful. I'm very optimistic. Yeah. I'm very optimistic. We still got, what, 11 more months? We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, well, you know, it'll be all right.
But, I hope, you know, as I grow older in my age, I feel like I'm going to meet a nice man pretty soon, and I think his name is going to be Jesus. Because my hope and faith.
I'm going to leave that alone.
I'm going to meet a nice man. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus H. You know, I have a new New Year's resolution, and that is to be worse.
That you already said that, though.
Yeah, you said that, but you're going to be worse than what you said you was going to be?
Yeah. I realized that I just did not emphatically say how I am going to be this year, starting February 1st.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know.
Mary she's getting her Jay.
And anyways, Queen Tay, you.
Hold on.
Yep. But the year definitely started off with a bang, at least for me. But again, I'll be back to work soon, and the fireworks can begin then. So I'm just ready. I am ready. A curly fro though, curly fro. Hey, that's what Matt likes to do. Hey, you got the ODB. You got the ODB going on.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it. No, that's wild, right? That's
bugging. Okay, you're dragging it now. I was off the camera for 15 seconds, and you took it to the left.
He started singing I Like It Raw. I thought he looked like ODB again, and then he's singing I Like It Raw. So. Now, you don't spray your hair.
And you sitting there giggling like a schoolgirl? Man, shut the
fuck. What are you talking about? Nobody was giggling.
Like a Sailor Moon character.
Wow. And then we're going to bring up Sailor Moon again? That's what we're doing? That's what we're doing right now. We're bringing up Sailor Moon.
Oh, man. That was interesting. That was a dream killer for Tay right there.
That ruined my whole life.
I really got into arguments about that. They said he wasn't a pedophile. I'm like, he was a pedophile.
Now that you said it, yes, he was.
Thank you. There's like, they were all in college. I said, were they?
No, they were clearly in high school. I thought he was a senior in high school. I didn't know he was in college.
Right, he was a senior in high school before they went to high school. Wow. They came in freshman year as he graduated. He had his own crib and everything.
Yo, how do you like? You can still watch. Where can you find Sailor Moon now?
On Hulu.
Seriously, all right. I'm gonna have to get back on that.
On Hulu.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that. No, and I was asked, by my cousin who watches the show. Also, shout out to Deidre. She likes the soul of R&B.
Are we doing that today?
Like, I didn't find a song. I didn't find a song.
Like the soul of R&B segment.
I didn't find a song.
What did she say?
She wanted to know if that's gonna be a regular. I said,
it will be a regular thing. Yes, it will be a regular thing.
There has to be something.
Yeah, no, it'll definitely be a regular thing.
We could think of something while we go.
It will for sure be a regular thing. But
I do got an idea. If you want to pull it up now, we could.
What's the idea?
Thong song.
That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
We got to do that. Do you know that is
one of my favorite songs of all time? I made a remix because there was this big fat girl that used to try to like forget it.
You know, we're gonna go right into tea time because Tavia said she's gonna be worse, and she's living up to her New Year's resolution right now.
Get it?
So Tavia, you let me know when you want me to drop music.
Yo,
I would not have put the thong song on the top of the list for Tay's favorite songs. I'm shocked.
Tavia,
is it for the wrong reasons?
Mongo's in here for weeks, and you talk about you don't think the thong song would be.
That has to be one of the videos that we got to do. You do know
the
that, right?
Bongos? I love that song.
You got to do it.
Oh,
Dre, you're getting ideas.
There's nothing unhinged about bongos. That's
I feel like, you know what? You know why, Dre? You know why I think I don't?
Have you seen it?
I wouldn't have put it up there. I think when I think of like Tavia and the way that I've met her and the way that she's always been presented and everything, I would have felt like she would have looked at Cisco in that era and be like, yeah. This man doing too much. I can't with him.
He was definitely doing too much. But like,
that's what I said. That whole video is problematic.
The one-handed handstand, the hot dog leading up to him doing the one-handed handstand. Yo, this all was nuts.
And he was extra. What was the plan?
He was doing too much. And dogs, to be honest with you, I feel like women's butts look better in boy shorts. But...
I agree.
I really feel like it shows you more of the actual thongs. Make thongs are like wigs for butts.
We gotta explain that.
Get my music.
Oh, the other thing, like y'all said. Hold on. But okay. Queen, before you start, Matt was acting like he didn't know the song last time we was in the studio, and now he's dancing to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen. And everything in between. Welcome to another episode, the first episode for 2024 of Tavia's Tea Time. It's your girl, the Queen, aka Latte James, aka Thanos, reporting from here, there, everywhere. And now, this is my hot take on thongs, right? Thongs are like wigs for butts, right? Did I just get next out of the whole conversation? Can you even hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
So thongs make any butt look good. And it boosts the way that thongs are shaped. It can make even the flattest of butts have at least a little bit of a lift because it goes straight in that ass. So it separates the butt cheeks in a way that makes you think that there's some cheeks back there. I know this for a fact but because before 2008, I was a part of the Flatlands Committee where I didn't have a butt, right? So I wore thongs from 1999 to 2007 exclusively to give the illusion that I had a butt. So what thongs do, it gives you that shape. Don't believe me? Why all those Victoria's Secret models had butts? Thongs are the wigs of underwears. Hi, I don't know who said that, but.
That's, now, that's what got me, Larry. That's what caught me. It took me out. Straight to that ass. It took me out. I'm like, yo, what are we doing?
So, fellas, if you ever, I know thongs are visually, like, aesthetically pleasing to look at, but if you are judging by how a butt looks in the thong, you know, Eric, we are not even regular friends, let alone best friends.
Oh, man. Shout out to Grizz.
You guys shout him out on my show, especially during my segment. Sorry.
Or else Tavia's going to go straight in that ass.
To be honest with you, I'm going to go back. He gaslit me the other day, by the way. I'll go back to that in another part of the segment. He gaslit the hell out of me during one of his questions on, but we'll go to that in a few. Thongs are a lie because it will make you think that someone has a butt and they really don't. And this is coming from a woman who wore it for years. Now, boy shorts, you can't hide behind boy shorts. Either you have it or you don't.
I stand behind it. I guarantee it.
But thongs are the wigs of underwear. Hate to break it to you.
But thongs don't do nothing for them girl with long backs.
It give you a little something. Because yeah, you got
those women. Go ahead.
Not you telling me go ahead on my segment. You telling me, all right, even if you have a long back, the thong gives you this. And it at least cuts off a little bit, and it gives you something. It may not give you a full.
Oh, where are you going? Oh,
but it gives you a little something to work with. Granted,
because
I'm blessed now.
Long back community is wild, bro. I'm sorry. I don't know who put that.
That be thanging. That wagon be dragging. So I have nothing to say. Them back shots be bongoing, and that's when I walk. So,
yeah, you gotta relax.
I don't gotta relax. I'm not talking about like actual.
No,
I'm talking about when I walk and be like.
For those of you who enjoy some not so safe for work Twitter proclivities, you know, feel free to look up Wagon Wednesday on Twitter and have yourself a jolly good time.
That'd be the first motherfucking thing you look at on Wednesdays, isn't it? When you before you
I don't have to. Right?
And you be having your seventh graders watch this show? Yo, like, how is this possible of you?
They're in college now. Those seventh graders are in college now.
So I don't feel as bad.
Yeah. So the students that were watching the show that reached out to me, they were my third ever class of teaching. So they are
little booties do matter.
Sophomores, I believe they're sophomores in college at this point. They high freshmen or sophomores. I will say no. So getting back to the long back community, right? Because you got these white girls out here, specifically white girls.
Girls have busts more, now. I see them at the gym.
This is true. But I have seen more white girls with this situation than black women, though I have seen a couple of black women with these situations where they got their ass cheeks hang like Droopy's lips, like his cheeks. Right, and it's just like they just long back, their ass cheek looking like a chicken cutlet that got pounded out. It got no definition, got no size, no bounce, still, no nothing to it. Yeah, nah.
It's still do a little song. Still do a little song. Because I don't know what it is. As I've gotten older, I've had an obsession with butts. Like, I always look at people's butts.
so did I. I mean, I grew up with all Dominican women in my neighborhood. So, of course, I grew up obsessed with big booty.
We ain't talking about Dominican girls right now. We're talking about everybody butts.
I'm talking about the natural Dominican women.
Like, when I'm at the gym, I look at everybody butt at the gym. Because I want to see, like, what you do to get that butt. Like, if it's real, if it's not real. Like, I look at men's butts. I look at women's butts. Like, I want to make sure that it's possible to have to work out and get a butt. And I found out that it's true, that you can shape a better butt. But getting back to it, thongs are the wigs of underwears.
That's my theory. Explain it like that. I get it. I get
you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I get the
comparison. I'm making sense.
Yeah, you do. I do realize, like, my whole time frame from like junior high school into high school, a lot of girls were wearing thongs and it did create the illusion. Like,
I used to wear the thongs like back then because you had like cultural icons like J-Lo. Like, for some of us who watched wrestling in the early 2000s, Lita, I used to wear my thongs over my Techno Chino pants. Like, you were seeing my thong. Period. And it made it look like I had a little something back there. And I had the flattest butt in my family.
See,
that my family called me Flatlands.
Whoo, okay.
I mean, I don't have that problem now.
So here's where I think the larger conversation comes from, because Tay is spitting 100% truth, right? But when we talk about thongs being the wigs of the underwear world, and then we have, you know, wigs, and I'm talking about non-medical wigs or things like that, you know, and all these different things. And especially when we have a society.
I'm very interested in what a Puerto Rican male has to say about wigs right now.
No. Especially when we have a society that more and more over the last decade or two has become more about the aesthetics of a person in terms of dating and messing around. You know, this is where we also see the rise of men talking about, like, I need a woman to take everything off so that I get an accurate depiction of who it is that I'm with. Because there have been many times where you're out at a club or at the bar and the girl has the level of catfishing that goes on is ridiculous when it comes to makeup, when it comes to, as you're explaining, with thongs and things like that. I'm being serious, because listen, it ain't happened to me, thank God, but there have been many, many times where people that I know, friends of mine, have gone home with somebody that they thought was an 8, 9, 10, have dated for a while somebody that every time they see them when they go out looks fantastic, and then gets into a relationship or has that first moment where they see them without all the accessories, and it's just like, hold up, this is a totally different person. I thought I was getting, you know, salmon.
You gotta fall in love with the haddock. You gotta fall in love with the beast to appreciate the beauty.
Well, I understand that. That's
a crazy ass reference. I like it, though.
It's a good reference.
We're talking about a society, especially with the rise of social media, with Instagram and all that, where everything has become about aesthetics.
But we live in a society where people already treat others like they're disposable. Who said that? That has to be Grizz.
Please say your name.
Y'all men be killing me as hell. Let me tell you something. I once was on Bumble, right? And this guy lied totally on his profile. He said he was 6 foot. He was all of 5'6", 5'7", right? And he had the biggest ball spot I've ever seen in my life, right? But I was not rude about it at all, because I feel like this is how it is, right? I'm wearing my wigs and my makeup and everything for me, not for you. You get what I'm saying? And if you're only seeing me just for the superficial, You know what I'm saying? That's your choice. But you gotta, for me, you gotta fall in love with the beast to appreciate the beauty. I get on this podcast, I very rarely wear makeup. And I'm on a broadcast in front of, and I've gotten on this podcast with a bonnet on, with my natural hair, rolling out of bed, literally, just coming off of cancer treatments, blood transfusions. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like, why should I, if wearing makeup and everything makes me feel good, right? Why should I ugly myself to make you feel better?
It's not about that. Was, see, that wasn't the point that I was making, right? So I think the point what I'm taking is
I know exactly what point you're, I know exactly what point you're trying to make. You get what I'm saying? I know exactly what you're saying. Like, people, I feel like we live in a society where everything is about the aesthetics, right? I feel like social media has made it all about the aesthetics.
100%.
Dating apps have made it all about the aesthetics, because if you don't like how somebody looks, all you got to do is swipe left. If somebody is not 100% as to what you find attractive, all you got to do is swipe left. We are not falling in love with the imperfections of people anymore. That's what society is. I do feel like there are some women who overdo it. But that's not my, to be honest with you, that's not fair for me to judge. Because I feel like it's not, to me, it's not a sign of insecurity either. What if that's how I like? You know, damn well, this is not my hair. That doesn't mean I'm bald headed, because I'm not.
No.
But if I was, so fucking what? Like,
right.
But no, if I was, like, so what? Like, but I'm just like saying.
You're not saying that, but that's what I'm saying, right? If okay.
But what if it if is them on a regular? But what if it is how they feel about themselves? What if it is, what if wearing makeup and stuff, right? Because even as a Black woman, society over-sexualizes you, but doesn't want you to feel beautiful.
But then there's sometimes. Sexy. But you want to hear something crazy?
This you can be sexy.
Go ahead.
Everybody can take your shape. Everybody can take your big breasts, your big butt, and put a white face on it and make it rich, right? You could be sexy, but you can't be beautiful, right? Even Black men, they fawn over the Kardashians. They fawn over the J-Los. They fawn over these people, and everybody's allowed to have their preferences, and I'm not here to say that you can't have your preferences, right? But what if it's not from insecurity? What if I'm very secure in myself, right? And if by the time we become intimate, we've had 3 or 4 dates, and you see me without my makeup, and it makes you like me less, what does that say about you?
You're not wrong with that. What I think, what I'm saying is, if I'm 5'9",
some of y'all bitches do be looking ugly under that makeup. I'm not even gonna front too, but go ahead.
It's true. If I'm 5'9", like I'm 5'10", like my actual height is 5'10". So let's go with that. I'm 5'10". Let's say I wear lifts in my shoes to make myself seem 6 foot. And let's say, because I have a bit of a patchy beard, let's say I get this colored in to make it look like I got the nice full goatee and everything. And I go out to the bar and I meet this woman. And she looking at me, oh man, I love a man with a beautiful beard. Looks great. Oh my God, he's 6 foot. This and this and this. Cool. Now, every time we go out, and every time we go out on a date, right, I got the fake beard on, I got it colored in, I got the lifts in my shoes to be 6 foot. And then all of a sudden she finds out I'm 5'10", and I don't have a full beard, I got a patchy-ass beard. And she's like, you know what? I don't want to be with a dude that got a patchy-ass beard and it's not 6 feet. She going to walk away because
she's an asshole.
And she is an asshole. You 100% right. You are 100% right. But see,
Are you an asshole for putting up a front too?
But that's what I'm saying on the other side, right? Like, yeah, I know. Okay, you're wearing blonde right now. My girl has had different hairstyles. She's had weaves in. She's had this. She's had that. And I'll be very honest to the entire podcast community listening right here. When I was young, I was very ignorant about Black women hair, right? And I always said when I was young, up until I was about 16, 17, that I would never date a girl that wore a weave. because I saw it as, if that's not your real hair, your actual God-given hair, I don't want something that's fake. When I got to be 17, 18 years old, my entire perception about things changed because I got exposed to so many different things. I met different people and I learned, right? So obviously I date a black woman now. She's got all different hairstyles, and I've told her, from her natural hair to her weave, she looks beautiful in every hairstyle she's ever put on, right? But if I'm going out to the club and I see a girl at the club, right, and she's got a wig on, and she's got, and put the makeup out, because we could see, you know, you're stupid if you don't see the makeup, right? But, you know, sometimes the makeup does incredible wonders to make how you look, right? She's got the wig on, she's got this, she's got that, she's got all these different enhancing clothing on, she's got whatever on. And then all of a sudden, as we're dating, I come to realize, okay, the double D's are an A cup. The ass is boosted by, you know, leggings and double pair of leggings and all this other stuff. So the ass ain't even there, right? It's not an enhancement. It's just not even there. The makeup, she looked like the witch in Snow White when she don't got the makeup on, right? The hair is nothing, right? All of a sudden, this is like, hold on. So this is now a completely different person. And if aesthetically I was looking for certain things in a person, now all of a sudden, I'm the asshole for saying, I don't want to date this person. I wanted to date that person.
Right? But what happens when we get with y'all and y'all gain 50, 60 fucking pounds and can't see the rest of your penis? And then I'll be an asshole if I start cheating, right?
Right. I'll take the bid. I don't know if I can do 5'5", but I'll give you some height. I would love to take the bid. You're right, Tay. Right. And I'm not saying that because I'm an advocate for physical beauty. Don't get me wrong, because I've had this conversation with my girlfriend. I've had this conversation with many people. Physical beauty fades. And you got to learn, as you have said, Tay, you got to learn to love the person and not the looks, because the looks are not going to be there. If you building a life with this person, those looks are not going to be there.
But the thing is this. I get what you're saying, right? I get what you're saying, and I get it. Like, my thing is too, right? I do feel like when you're with someone and this and the third, like, there should still be some physical attraction there.
Right.
Now look at me, right? Say I had cancer and cancer took away one of my breasts, and I'm with someone. Would he be an asshole because he didn't want to be with me anymore because of that? Yes, I think so. Yeah.
100%, I agree with you.
100%. But it's not aesthetically as pleasing as it used to be. But at that point, wouldn't you take we're supposed to have this in common. We have the history. We have the bond. We have the this. We have the that. And the thing is, like, I feel like you could change your mind with people in life. Like, physical attraction is a very important part of a relationship, right? But there's other pieces too.
Yeah.
Because like you said, we're not always going to look the same. How do you expect to get married to someone and then in the next 40 years, they're not going to look the same to you? And there's some days that you're just not going to like that person. You're not going to be as attracted to that person, right? But when the tough times come, but we're talking about like regular everyday people.
Right.
Right. You would hope that you meet somebody in the club. Are you meeting them for a one-time thing or are you meeting them for a long-term thing? So by the time you get to seeing them as the layers come off, you get what I'm saying? Hopefully you will like something more than just the physical to make you stick around. The physical comes and goes. You get what I'm saying? It's what the bond that keeps you there.
Right.
Sex comes and goes. Sex comes and goes.
I agree. And I think you know, what we're both talking about, I think it's more of a damnation of our society, the society we're living in now, and the society we've been living in for more than likely, you know, as it has evolved the last 20 years, where it's just like, you know, people have taken physical traits and physical looks and made those things deal breakers versus the things that should be deal breakers. You know,
I agree. It's only about the, for some people, it's only about the physical, and they don't take a moment to get deeper than that because they may not be there. And, you know, and I feel like because we live in a society where the aesthetics mean everything, the social media means everything, the disposable, we dispose of people so quickly. Not only men, because I'm not here to be like, only men do it. Women do it too. If he don't have this, if he don't have that, if he has this, if he doesn't do this, if he, and I feel like we live on unrealistic standards. Because no one is perfect. And I always say this, like, I feel like if I meet someone who is at least 70% of what I'm looking for, and 70% is not just the physical attributes, I mean the mental and the emotional attributes as well.
Right.
I feel like I'm in a good place.
That is, honestly, there needs to be more, I think there needs to be a lot more women like that. I'm lucky to be with a woman who's like that, but there are too many women nowadays where it's just like, you know, first off, they put unrealistic or unsustainable boxes to check. And then it's like, well, if you don't check all of the boxes, it's a problem. Like people don't, there's not enough people. Yeah. There's not, oh yes, 100%. There's not enough people. There's not enough people in this world that are understanding. And so many elders that I speak to as well, they always spit the same wisdom where it's just like, you have to understand you're not going to get everything that you want, but you need to figure out what's most important, and the person has to meet those things. And when you set unrealistic expectations or unrealistic wants, that's when you get these people. And that's what we're seeing, an entire generation of people who are finding themselves more and more single as they get into the later years of their life, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s.
I feel like I'm single not because I have unrealistic expectations. I'm single because I punch too low.
And oh, you're different. Yeah, you're a different case, of course.
Yeah, I'm punching and I'm refusing. I think that there's a difference between being understanding and settling.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? And I'm tired of playing this game where I'm too understanding, you get what I'm saying, of situations that I don't have. Like, it's like I don't have to be in this. Like, I don't have to do this, like, at all. So I don't have to, so I won't.
Right.
Sprinkle, sprinkle. Because I can provide for myself what I require from somebody else.
Right.
So it's like, I've been mature, like, I feel like there's a certain maturity of my mindset because I've been there, done that. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's not to say that I haven't had an immature mindset at certain points, but then also I come from a different place where I was married before. I did this before. I've lived with someone before. You know, I've done the casual thing. I've done the non-casual thing. I've done the relationship thing. So it's a different point of view for someone like me. You know, don't settle, don't do this, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's different. What you think, Matt?
Honestly, I feel people are into what they're into, and sometimes what they're into is always temporary. I feel like people feel like they know what they want, but in all honesty, they don't. I feel like I agree with what you're saying. Society kind of tells you what you want and what you need to look for. It has to be, I don't know the exact words that y'all said, but it's like the appearance, or it's like shit that really don't matter because the shit fades after a while. Like, nobody looks 28, 25 at 75 to 80. It's a rare occasion. So I feel like people need to pay attention to more of the connection. If I can put up with this person for a long period of time, when shit get rough, could I see myself going through it with this person? When it gets bad, is it going to make me walk away from this person? Or is it going to make me think like, yo, we need to sit down and figure this thing out? Like, I feel like that's more important than, what is the word that you use? Aesthetics? I feel like that's more important than aesthetics. Yeah, it's cool to be attracted to, like, you need to be attracted to the person that you're with.
Yeah.
I get that. You definitely do. I get that. But I think people pay more attention to the attraction physically than the attraction mentally and emotionally. And that's why a lot of people end up alone or bitter or have a fucked up mind frame to where they're thinking, like, I can do bad all by myself, or like, I don't need this, or I gotta, this is all the stuff that I'm looking for. And if I don't get that, I ain't with nothing. I get it, but I don't get it. Sometimes I feel like it's just a defense mechanism. In all honesty, the people that y'all want or the people that we want to be with hurts us. That's the real aspect of life. The people that you really think that you want are the ones that hurt you the most. And then after that, you just add more shit to your checklist. And then after that, the person that you have, the person that you're dreaming up on this checklist, you find out too late in life that that person doesn't exist. That's my opinion.
I feel like I want a bond that doesn't exist more than a person. I'm looking for energy that more than just a person. You get what I'm saying? Like, for me, I feel like I don't put unrealistic expectations on people because I understand that we're not perfect. You know what I'm saying? Like, I try hard to understand, right? It's not just about the physical attraction to me, right? But I feel like for me, my biggest thing, and I talked a lot to Donna about this. Shout out to Donna.
I ignore
red flags. Me too. I look at red flags like a circus because I am so stubborn. I like a challenge.
You're a New York driver. We don't pause on at red lights.
Yeah.
We don't pause at red lights. We try to
the red flag, hit the yellow. And yeah. I'd be like, nah, meh. Like, it is what it is. And you know, the thing is too, is like, you don't realize that somebody does not like you until you like them.
Boy. Yeah.
But yo, this person really doesn't like me like that. Why am I doing this to myself? Like what I was telling y'all about. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
Like, you can tell when somebody just does not like you. You're like, yo, this person just does not like me. Like, why am I wasting my time? You know why I'm wasting my time? Because I'm allowing myself to waste my time. It's me. Ultimately, it's me. It's you. Like, it's what you're allowing.
No, I feel you. I honestly, one of the things that I had to, like, get, like, I had to, like, come to terms with, and it wasn't an overnight thing. It was more or less, like, in the span of, like, 15 years, I want to say. Like, the type of girls that I be with, I'll be with them, and then, like, for some reason, like, I'll catch myself looking at the situation, right? And I'll be like, yo, you know how, like, I ask these questions on dates, like, oh, where do you see yourself in 5 years, right? That's the question that everybody asks on dates. I'll be in the relationship, and I'll be not really much of a relationship. I'll be in the situation. I'm like, oh, do I see myself dealing with this shit for 5 years, like 5 years from now? Could it progressively get worse? Could it progressively get better? And it's like a whole bunch of, like, fighting with yourself. And then, again, you start to ignore red flags, and then it gets too late. It's overbearing sometimes. And it's just, again, it's all about the decisions that you make. And in all honesty, it's about respecting yourself. And respecting yourself doesn't mean that you need to, like, create these unattainable standards, right? Respecting yourself is understanding that certain things are not obtainable and certain things you shouldn't settle for, like certain behaviors you should not settle for. I realize the most beautiful people have the most fucked up shit about them. And then literally, again, where is that going to carry you at 65 or 70? And social media fucks that up because you have to be beautiful. You have to have a BBL. You have to have a body. You got to have You got to have Fashion Nova out the ass. You got to have that sponsorship. You got to have all of that to be the dream, to be considered beautiful, or to be considered worthy. And that's where we're at in life. And I don't sign up for that shit. I'm more into the chemistry and the connection. I'm more into how I feel when I'm with you. I'm more into the conversation. And that's just how it is. So I can't sign up to these 2020 behaviors and this Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok shit. So you say like the thong is the wig. I think social media is the wig. And that's real shit. We going to moment of silence?
Now you dropped a gem. You dropped the gem there. What I originally was going to talk about on TVC Time was the Cat Williams Shannon Sharp interview that had set the internet ablaze a couple of weeks ago. Which
with my cognac at?
Which Word. Gave us some of the best viral moments of the year so far, and some gems. I'm not even gonna lie. Some of the things that 3-hour interview, basically, whereas Kat talked about the state of the industry, Kat talked a lot about Kevin Hart, he talked a lot about Ricky Smiley, Steve Harvey, everything you could think of, and came up with some dope ass quotes like, you have an unnatural affinity for losers or something like that. I love that. And I'm going to be using that all the time. But one of the things that I want to talk to you guys about really briefly, because I know we have to go and actually talk about sports. We're already an hour in. So one of the things I want to kind of touch on briefly is some people are kind of giving backlash to Shannon Sharpe's interview style during this interview, saying that they kind of let him as a journalist didn't control the flow of the interview and kind of allowed Cat Williams to kind of control his show. As people who are in the media in a way, how do you guys feel about that?
Who first? Who,
me? Yeah. No, Drake, because he ain't say anything in 25 minutes.
In terms of your question, I feel like people are always going to find a reason to be upset, especially if you weren't the one to get the scoop. The problem that I had with people coming at Shannon Sharp is Club Shay Shay has always been an outlet for people to sit there and talk and say whatever until Shannon feels like jumping in. So now that Cat Williams is deciding to air everybody out, now it's a problem. Just because you have relationships with people doesn't mean you're not going to let somebody come on your show and speak their truth. Like people are annoying, and you know, I like Steven Jackson, but him being upset and saying, oh well, I wouldn't let that happen because this and the third, then you wouldn't have had the ratings that Club Shay Shay had. You wouldn't have had the amount of people trying to watch the show even still. Like it's a 3-hour show. People literally, like, you know, most people don't get through 15 minutes of a YouTube. These people are sitting there watching 3 hours of Cat Williams telling the truth, or his version of the truth. I just want to know, what was the issue when Steve Harvey came on and told his version of the truth? What was the issue when Cedric Entertainer came on and told his version of the truth? When Ricky Smiley got on and told his version of the truth? Everybody was cool. But when Cat Williams did it, everybody losing their mind. I don't know. People are just weird. The media is weird. We notice.
How I feel about it, like he said, bro, I'm a huge, me and Dre talk about all the smoke all the time. You know, we're a big fan of Stat 5 and Matt Barnes. But to sit there and say, like, you don't, like, y'all control certain people from, you know, not going viral or, like, you know, not coming at people, that's, like, in the words of Cat Williams, you're a fat phase on love lie, because Terrell Owens was on there going ape shit on Stephen A. So we can't, like, you can't had that happen and then get at Shannon Sharpe for it. I, like I said, I just call cap on it. Again, I respect both brothers. I'm a fan of their show, but I just feel like everybody has their own variations of podcasts. How you control your podcast is how you control your podcast. I had no problems with how Shannon Sharpe handled his podcast. Clearly, Cat Williams got on that show with something in his heart, and he wanted to let it out. And that's just how that goes. I mean, sometimes when people want to get their shit off, they're going to get their shit off. And that's just how that goes. There's not much you can do to control that person. It's either he was going to say it on your show, or he was going to go live and say it. Either way you put it, again, like we just talked about, social media is crazy. Social media is technically the new media. He didn't have to say it on Shannon Sharpe's show. He was going to say it regardless, no matter where he said it. He said what he had to say. I feel like the attention is on the wrong person. Cat Williams said what he had to say. I think the focus should be on Cat Williams. I feel like Shannon Sharpe should just enjoy the rewards of having a very entertaining show. And that's just what it is.
I saw the firestorm that happened the day after, because I don't really pay too much attention to these things in these areas of media. So I saw the firestorm that kind of happened the day after, everybody going wild on social media. And I was like, what in the world happened? So I went back and looked at it. It also absolves Shannon Sharpe of being a part of anything that Kat said, right? So that interview style, and I think, you know, Shannon also has to make the decision on the fly, where he's like, he could ask questions and go from there and then kind of direct the interview. But I think when Kat started going off the way that he went off, you know, at that point, Shannon Sharpe has a choice to make. Do I want to try to probe further and ask questions and be an interviewer in this moment and possibly put myself in the middle of the firestorm as well? Or do I just want to let Kat go off? Because then the only person responsible for what Kat is saying is Kat. I don't have to agree with him. I don't have to disagree with him, because if it's true and I agree and I disagreed with him, then I was trying to hide what, you know, he was trying to say. If it wasn't true and I agreed with him, then I'm going to get smoke from these people as well. And at the end of the day, he has to have a platform where people feel comfortable being able to go on there and speak. Now, Kat went off. And honestly, I don't know if there's a lot of people that have podcasts that would have been able to resist the temptation to kind of ask Kat more probing questions about the things that he went off about, right? And to me, Shannon Sharpe showed a lot of restraint in kind of just sitting there, listening, letting him go off, and then kind of like, okay, I'm going to ask my next question, right? He didn't then change his questions to be like, okay, so you said this. What about this and what about that and da-da-da. He just let Kat go and go and go. And then he was just like, okay, I'm going to go back to my sheet. Here was my next question is what I'm going to ask next. And then let Kat
go. And he wasn't messy. And he wasn't messy. Like you said,
right.
Other interviewers would have been messy. He wasn't messy.
You know, Shannon understands that he's in a very delicate position, because it's not just his podcast that's on the line. His persona, his public perception, the ability to get people on his podcast, and then it also affects him in the other industries that he works at. Does ESPN want to be, you know, dealing with you when you got people coming for you left, right, and center? Does Disney, the parent company, go to ESPN and say, hey, we can't have Shannon show up on our programs anymore. We got to cut that contract. We can't work with him anymore because we've got Steve Harvey and we've got these people. We've got that person and this person's representation and this Hollywood studio calling us and saying, we don't want you working with Shannon Sharpe anymore. And now we've got economic pressure. At the end of the day, I had no issue with the way that Shannon Sharpe did the interview. I cannot sit here and say whether or not what Kat said is true or not. Some of it seemed true. Some of it seemed like exaggerations. Some of it was like, okay, well, okay, brother, just go off. But at the end of the day, You know, the interview is the interview, and people are going to say what they're going to say and how they're going to respond to it. Shay just going to move on. Shay just going to move on to his next interview.
I enjoyed the whole.
You know, and Kat's going to go another year with a virgin booty hole. That's it.
Jesus Christ.
He said that was his whole goal. He said it. He said his whole goal, his whole goal in Hollywood. He had two goals in Hollywood. Okay. To go in and out with a virgin asshole and not suck a penis. And he said he has not done not one of those. That's what he said. Cat Williams said it. He said that was his two goals in Hollywood.
But did you have to say it?
I'm just saying, Cat Williams said that was his two goals. And listen, 2024, I hope he keeps up those goals as well. Keep going, Cat. Keep going. Keep going. Just don't go to Illuminati parties with people anymore.
But I gotta relax.
Cool. No, you're good. You're good. You're good today.
I listened. Actually, when I watched that interview, Matt, I thought about you the whole time. I was like, so Cat Williams is exuding Matt energy right now. Because I feel
not
like
getting canceled.
I feel like if Tavia or Dre would have been on the like production assistants on that show, they're like, yo, Cat, you gotta relax.
No, I let it go. I let it go. There's no reason he ain't say nothing bad about it. He ain't say nothing bad about my family or the network that we on. He ain't say nothing disrespectful.
But also Cat Williams talking about how
he all right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to an episode of Tavia's Tea Time. I really appreciate you.
50 million, three times.
I really appreciate you guys taking the time. And yeah, so lastly, before I wrap it up, y'all friend Eric posted this status asking people, like, what are their big turnoffs about dating people? And I put my turnoff, and he's going to tell me I'm wrong for putting what my deal breakers are. And then he's going to delete him saying that I was wrong. He said, you wrong, but okay. He's going to delete his comment, right? So it makes it look like I'm arguing with myself, and then he's going to change it and put, that my daughter's laughing. He's going to change it and put, well, if it's your preference, okay. So he totally gaslit me to make me look like I'm the villain.
All I know is Ricky Smiley does his best work in his dress.
Yeah, fact. So he posted status. It was like, what's your big deal breakers for dating? I said, first of all,
being a Nick Saban fan.
Being shorter than me is a deal breaker. And then liking professional wrestling. And he was like, you're trolling. I'm like, well, given the fact that, you know, my connection to that industry, like, I would prefer that to be completely separate. He was like, well, you're wrong, but okay. But then, and I started going to ask the reasons why. So I look back up and refresh it. He deletes that comment, you're wrong, but okay. And then, yeah, so it basically looked like sorry, I got totally gaslit. One of their friends.
Why are you gotta name is exactly. Gross.
Hilarious.
Yeah, report that account, right? Get it burnt down. Spam it. All right, that's get that report. Get it banned from Facebook. All right, Bell.
You gotta relax.
Boom. You're such a genius. No. My daughter is so smart.
Gotta relax.
My daughter is so smart. You see, was I gaslit?
Yes.
Definitely. Boom.
So Joe Flacco's back in the playoffs.
Exactly. You're going to ask a general question to a whole group of people. So agreeing with everybody else. But mine, it was like this whole big thing. That's why I say people just be like, you're going to delete it and make it look like I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? That I look all crazy.
That's funny.
And I barely be posting on people's stuff anyway on Facebook because I be minding.
She not on mute.
I be minding my own business.
She knows.
I'm talking to the only person whose opinion matters in my life. and that never waits. I don't care. It can happen during the show, before the show, after the show. There's only one person on this whole planet whose opinion matters in my life. Because I do what I want to do. I go where I want to go. And I think what I want to think. Anyway, that wraps up this episode of Tavious Tea Time. Next.